Welcome back to the 13th ever episode of the Tiny Nimble Podcast, a show all about mobile gaming hosted by me, NimbleThor, and my fellow YouTuber, Tiny Little Games. And today's episode is actually a bit of a special one, since it's the first of 2021, and so we'll use this episode to talk both about our favorite games of last year, but also discuss which upcoming games we're excited about and we're looking forward to playing in 2021, of course. And then we'll also touch on all the latest and greatest mobile gaming news, as we always do, including looking at which games earned the most money or were the most popular last year. So we hope you'll enjoy this episode and that you'll leave a like, subscribe, or somehow rate this podcast if you're listening or watching on a platform where that is actually possible, so that we can then continue reaching even more mobile gamers. Now, we usually start things off with the righteous recommendation of the month, but I figured since this is the first episode of 2021, we could start by talking about our favorite game of 2020. So Tiny, I know this wasn't an easy choice, but let's start by hearing what is your favorite game among all the games you played last year. What is your favorite game of 2020?
So, my favorite game of 2020 is a game that we cannot play anymore, and that game
drum is... Drumroll, please.
Yes, yes, drumroll, please. What's a game that we can't play anymore? It's Area F2. Area F2 is a fantastic class-based multiplayer FPS in the vein of Rainbow Six Siege, if anybody's played Rainbow Six Siege, and that's the reason why we can't play it anymore, because Ubisoft struck that game down with the righteous... you know, hammer of Thor. It's great.
Banhammer.
Yeah, exactly. The Banhammer for sure. It has great strategy, cool weapons, cool gadgets. And yeah, it's just a strategic team-based shooter. You know, you go into this place, you take down, you know, or you take down, what is it, like the terrorists or vice versa. Mm-hmm. And it just gave us like cool gameplay moments of strategic fun. I'm hiding behind, you know, a wall, or I'm punching holes in walls and I'm shooting the enemy through the other side. It was so awesome. And honestly, in 2020, it was one of the best, multiplayer shooters of the year, and it only lasted for about a few months, I think, before Ubisoft got it banned.
So it got taken down really quickly. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you're lucky enough to play it, kudos to you. I was one of the lucky ones who got in and play it for a while, did a video on it, found it super amazing. If there's any silver lining in this whole, the whole debacle about it not being there anymore, is that the developers are working on some changes, and they say they do want to release it, I think in 2021, do a re-release of it. And I'm just hoping that the changes are enough, so it can stay, you know, it could stay available to play, but also not too much, because I liked that it was like Rainbow Six Siege. That was probably the main reason why a lot of us who played it and liked it played it. So let's hope it stays that way. A lot of people were thinking I was probably gonna say Genshin Impact was my favorite game. I know in my top games list I did say Genshin Impact was number one. And as fun as that game is, I do think I had a lot more fun with that multiplayer class-based shooter that was Area F2.
And I don't think you're alone in that, by the way. I looked over on the Android Gaming subreddit the other day, and I saw lots of people mentioning, you know, they were talking about their favorite games of the year. And I saw quite a few people mentioning Area F2 as their favorite, even though it isn't available anymore. So I think if they make a comeback, I mean, they definitely should make a comeback. I guess it's almost guaranteed at this point, hopefully, because also the financial gains are probably there. It's also a bit different from Call of Duty Mobile and PUBG Mobile, which I think is what helped it, as you explained, it helped it gain a lot of popularity and eventually led to its downfall, of course. But
unfortunately, RIP Area F2.
RIP Area F2, indeed. Now, my favorite game is actually a game that's still up, which is always an advantage. But it's a game called Kickflight, which, and I have to mention this game again because I don't get why it's not more popular than it is. It's a team-based PvP game with combat that I always like to think of this as how a Dragon Ball mobile game should have been like if, you know, they actually wanted to make a good Dragon Ball mobile game, which for some reason they don't want to do, but okay, moving on. If they did, they should have made Kickflight. So you basically fly around and you fight other players. You have different characters and you pick a character. They have different abilities and you just fight in air, you know, using your different abilities while then trying to complete the objective of whatever game mode you selected. So one of the game modes you start out with is one where you have to collect these orbs. You have to collect blue orbs and the other team has to collect red orbs, and then you have to get them back to your base. and whoever gets the most back to the base basically wins. But of course, you can also shoot each other down with your weapons and your abilities. It's just, it's a super fun game, and it does take a bit to get into. I think what some people criticize about the game is that the controls are a bit difficult. Not that the controls are made bad or like made in a bad way, but just that the game is complex, you know. It's a lot, you know, it's a lot to fly around and shoot and use abilities at the same time while trying to complete your objectives. But it's my favorite game of the year because once you get past that, you know, once you really do get into the game, I think it's absolutely one of the most ambitious games of the year. And it's one of the ones, even though I gotta admit I haven't been playing it a lot lately, it has been, when I look back now on the year, it has been one of my best gameplay experiences of the year.
Is it a single hand? Do you play with one hand or do you have to use two hands? Because I know it's in portrait mode, so what's the best way to play it?
Yeah, it's in portrait mode, and I wonder if that has hurt the game as well, more than it actually helped it.
Interesting.
But you can play mostly with one hand. I did use two hands, though, but you can play mostly with one hand, though. Like, one finger, even.
Okay, like if you're a super-duper pro player, you're using two hands.
You're using two, and you're probably also using two if you're new to the game, to be fair.
Because that's going to be me.
Yeah, you know, but just like you're going to be triggering abilities, and sometimes it may just be easier to do with a second finger, even though you should actually be able to theoretically do almost everything with just your thumb, basically, on one hand. So, but I'm not a pro at the game. I just think it's one of the best gameplay experiences of the year. So that'll be it. But I did also want to mention, if that game is too complex, because I get that it is definitely too complex for some, Cookies Must Die and Gwent. I'm sure you can agree on Gwent, Tiny.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
Cookies Must Die and Gwent, also really great, like, notable mentions that I think you're almost guaranteed to like them, I think, if you get into them, if you like the genre of those games, of course. So yeah, those would be my favorite games of the year, but definitely Kick Flight, for me personally, providing the best experience. So these were our favorites of the year, but as we mentioned in the intro, we figured it'd also be fun to look at some of the most downloaded and best earning games of the year, because, spoiler alert, the games we just mentioned are definitely not.
Yeah.
They're not on those lists. They're not the most downloaded or the best earning games of the year, even though I think they deserve to be so. So if we start with the most downloaded games of the year right off the bat, I'm surprised about the first one on the list, which is Garena Free Fire.
Wow.
It received 266 million right?
Yeah.
266 million downloads in 2020 alone, but it released all the way back in 2017. So it's one of these games that just, I guess they just keep reinventing themselves. Have you played it? Did you play it when it released, Tiny?
I played it, yeah, way back when it released. I would want to say back in 2017 or maybe early 2018. And I didn't, I mean, it's a battle royale, same type of game that we've seen a million times, PUBG-like. And I thought it was fun for what it was, but it didn't like keep me to where I'm like, oh man, I got to keep playing this game. But apparently it definitely keeps people engaged and involved. I mean, that's a lot of downloads.
Yeah, people keep coming back to it for some reason. And I think I heard that gamingonphone.com did an article on this, and they mentioned that somehow the game just keeps reinventing itself, renewing itself, and it keeps like making collaborations with different like musicians or even football players. You know, Cristiano Ronaldo, he's apparently the global ambassador of the game. So I think stuff like that maybe helps bring in a constant flow of new players who then end up playing Garena Free Fire instead of PUBG Mobile. That's the best explanation I can come up with. But as I said, I was really surprised to see this game at the top of the list. I don't know what game I would have expected to be at the top.
I mean, maybe Call of Duty Mobile, I was thinking, would be there.
Because they got so many downloads when they released, right?
Yeah.
Like 100 million within a week or and a half or something like that.
And then we have to think, like, okay, since 2017, people who buy new phones, each time they buy a new phone, let's say they re-download their favorite game. And if Free Fire was their or is their favorite game, so you have these, you know, let's say a million people bought new phones in a year or whatnot, you want to re-download your favorite game, there's the game they go to. So I'm sure that feeds into a lot of these top downloaded games as well, is people purchasing new devices and stuff like that and getting their favorite game on there. This was just a lot of people's favorite game.
There we go. That's the Mr. Smart Analyst over there. Tiny.
You're the smart analyst, but this time I decided to try to be.
I'm not sure. Yeah. No, but that was a really. I actually completely agree. I didn't think about that, but that is probably part of the reason why they see so many downloads. Now, moving on the list is Among Us, as number two. Isn't that amazing? Such a small, tiny, tiny indie game becoming the second most downloaded game. And by the way, this is across, this is global downloads across Android and iOS, by the way, just to be clear. So 256 million downloads of Among Us, which it took a while for me to get into that game. I had it downloaded over a year ago because someone recommended me to download it, but it had so few players back then that I actually ended up didn't do a video on it. I just had it installed on my phone. And then it just blew up this year, of course. Needless to say, everyone has heard about it at this point. I mean, it's a fun game. There's a reason why it has so many downloads, right? It's a fun game. It's perfect for quarantine. You know, you can play with friends, but you sit at home. And in fact, the game is meant to be so that you can't see each other's screens, right? So it's the perfect party game where you're not actually partying together.
That's a very good
point. Did you play it?
I mean, it was so popular that they canceled the sequel they were working on just so they can keep working on this one. And I played a little bit of it. Yeah, I played a little bit of it. I didn't get as much into it as everyone else did, but I definitely see the appeal behind it. And there is this fun moments. It's you know, that whole little like, oh, who's the bad guy or who's the imposter type thing, and just making sure you're watching everything and seeing what people are doing and just watching them slip up or you slip up. When usually it was me when I was the imposter, I usually did such a horrible job. I was found out really quickly. But I definitely see the appeal. And like you said, like, it's the perfect game to just play, like you said, during a quarantine time or during a time when, you know, we're not out engaging with others or doing couch co-op or stuff such as that. I mean, it is the perfect. And the fact that it's on PC and mobile as well, I think really helped in its success.
Oh, yeah, that's a very good point. And also, just to add to that, the fact that it's a premium game on PC, but it's free to download on mobile.
Yes.
Probably meant that a lot of people who don't usually play mobile games, they downloaded it on mobile because then they could play it for free. And then if they ended up liking it, maybe they would buy it on PC.
Yep, that's a good point.
But interesting that they're only 10 million downloads behind Garena Free Fire to becoming the most downloaded. That must kind of somehow suck a bit, right?
Yeah, seriously.
You were 10 millions away from having made the most downloaded mobile game of 2020. But I guess a second place isn't too bad. On the third spot, though, we have another really old game, you know, just like Garena Free Fire, but even older. Subway Surfers, 235 million downloads.
This blows my mind.
That's 2012.
2012, this game came out. I mean, that's before either of us had our channel. And it's still, what is it, the top three most downloaded games of last year? That's just crazy to me.
It's still one of the most downloaded games of all time.
I wonder why. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know, man. Like, I think the same thing that can be said about, well, I guess Garena Free Fire is a complex game, actually. So maybe I'm wrong about what I was about to say. So what I was about to say was that I guess the same can be said about most games that become the most downloaded. They, at least typically, the most downloaded games have been casual games, like very casual games. Games that kids can play. I guess that's what I'm trying to say, right? Like small kids, you know, younger than you would be able to play Garena Free Fire. And because they just have a lot of time at their phones these days and have had for many years, you know, and so they download Subway Surfers because it's a game they can play. Now, I'm not saying it's not a great game that you can play as an adult as well. Heck, I downloaded Subway Surfers in 2020 again. So I'm one of those 235 million people because I hadn't played it in a few years and I was like, wonder where that game is at, you know. And it's just as great. Like, you download it and you get sucked in just as quickly again.
That's true, yeah.
It's just fun to see if you, and it has the most simple gameplay loop, right?
Yep, just like swipe.
Avoid getting hit. Yeah, just swipe. Just jump from train to train and that's it, you know. It's just a fun game. That would be my guess as to why it's still so popular. Well, why is it still so popular then? I don't actually know, but because it has been one of the most downloaded games. In fact, for many years, it was the most downloaded.
That's true, yeah.
I think, don't quote me on this, but I think 2018, 17, and 16, I believe it was the most downloaded game globally. Like number one. Which is just mind-blowing. And by the way, of course, I have to also do a quick shout-out because this is actually a Danish game, and me being a Dane, I have to be a bit proud of that because we don't have a lot of mobile gaming successes or even PC game successes, but this is certainly one of them.
But Subway Surfers moving on then, is I guess, one, yeah.
Yeah, that is one of them for sure. But moving on then, the next one at 232 million, so only 3 million below Subway Surfers, is PUBG Mobile.
Okay, I'm not as surprised by that one.
No. I mean, that it's just a big IP. As you mentioned with Among Us as well, you know, this is one of those games that released on PC first, then it went to mobile. Well, I guess Among Us released on mobile first, but it's available on both platforms is my point. It's cross-platform, right?
Yeah.
At least PUBG is, and then they made PUBG Mobile, you know.
Yeah, and it's one of those games where, like you said, like, it's free, just like kind of like Among Us. It's free on mobile, and then it's premium on, you know, consoles or slash PC. And I think it just, and it's cross, you know, you can carry your stuff over, so it's cross in that way. So, I mean, I think that just led to a lot of the success of it on mobile. I mean, and honestly, the control-wise and all that other stuff, I know a lot of the Battle Royale games on mobile are kind of similar in controls. But from my experience, I do feel like PUBG did have more of that consistency when it came to like decent controls and how you play it and whatnot.
Yeah.
And it just has some fun moments. So I can see how that's still on the list.
Absolutely. That one didn't surprise me either. And I guess what did surprise me though is that if we look at this list at this point, these four ones, you know, Garena Free Fire and PUBG Mobile, definitely not casual games. Among Us, I don't know. Like, it's a semi-casual game, right? Uh-huh. Like it's not super kids friendly. Like, I know a lot of young people played it, but what I mean with that is like, it does take a bit more, like, you got to understand the game a bit more than you need to, you know, to play Subway Surfers, for example. But it's still a semi-casual. It's definitely not a hardcore game. It's a semi-casual game. But that is new for 2020. It's like previous years used to be dominated by casual games. Yeah. And I just think it's interesting that we're seeing now, for the first time, we're seeing PUBG Mobile, we're seeing Garena Free Fire as... well, maybe not for the first time. I think Garena was on there last year as well. But we're seeing these, you know, gradually more and more hardcore games, you know, that you know, people who consider themselves gamers, you know, gamers would actually play. We see these games rise to the top, which I think shows something about mobile gaming becoming increasingly, you know, more and more legitimized among, you know, PC gamers. So anyway, the last game on the list is, I've never heard of this game before, Hunter Assassin.
I have no idea what that is.
It received 200 million downloads, and we don't know about it. So apparently, I looked this up, okay? It's a 2D top-down game where you play as an assassin, and then you have to hunt down targets one by one without being noticed. And I guess that's basically, it's like the others will run around with flashlights, the targets will, and you're then the assassin. Huh. I don't think it's multiplayer. I think it's just single player, and it doesn't look too appealing. Like, the graphics are pretty bad, but not bad in a good way, or like bad in an, you know, indie style way, just bad.
Yeah, I'm looking at screenshots right now, and the graphics do not look very appealing.
I don't know why I got so many downloads,
but that is a lot of downloads.
I can only conclude that, you know, it had a huge marketing budget, and they're hoping to make it back, I guess, from in-app purchases. I know it's one of those horrible games that has a super expensive weekly subscription, like where you pay $5 or $6 per week. I think it's one of those types of games. And I guess they're trying to lure people into buying that, like, so they have some people who spend a lot of money, or maybe even, I'm not saying this is what they hope for, but I'm just saying maybe a kid accidentally clicks sign up because it's free, there's a free 3-day trial or something like that, and then you end up paying. I don't know, I'm not saying that's what their intention is, but it just gives me a bad taste, you know, in my mouth. Like, it's I don't like these types of games, and I'm kind of saddened to see this game up there among PUBG and Subway Surfers and Among Us.
It came out in September 12th of 2019, and Google reviews give it a 4.2. I don't know. I mean, I'm curious to try it out, but yes, it does not look very appealing, and that is very interesting that it is on that list. It's so interesting how, I mean, we play mobile games all the time. We have channels dedicated to mobile games, and even now to this day, there are still games that I have no idea exist and that are so popular. It's just kind of interesting to find that out and to see, hey, here's a game here that came out a year ago, and
it really shows
it's in the top four of most downloaded games.
It really shows how big mobile gaming is, in terms of how many people play and how many different types of people play games as well. Because this is not a game that I would think appeals to me, but, you know, 200 million people apparently decided to download it.
It appeals to them for sure.
Apparently. So these were the most downloaded games. Now, if we then look, moving on to the best earning games, if we look at that list, interestingly, there is a very small overlap. Very small. So, the only game that is also on the best earning game is PUBG Mobile. This is number one. This was the best earning game of the year globally across iOS and Android. It earned $2.6 billion, and that is billion with a B, billion dollars in revenue this year.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, that's crazy. That is crazy. And but of course, it makes sense. You know, they're one of the most downloaded games, so I guess it kind of makes sense they're also one of the best earning games. But it is interesting to see that, you know, Garena Free Fire isn't among the best earning games, even though it was most downloaded. Among Us isn't either. Subway Surfers definitely isn't one of the best earning games either. You know, we don't see Hunter Assassin on here either.
True.
Thankfully. But what we do see, though, are these more hardcore games like PUBG Mobile. Honor of Kings is number two. They're in $2.4 billion, which is the, you know, some people may not know that name, but that's the Arena of Valor, you know, MOBA game by Tencent.
Yep.
This is their Chinese version called Honor of Kings. And then we have Pokemon Go, $1.2 billion. So already we're halving the revenue here, right? Like,
yeah.
Number two was Honor of Kings at 2.4, and number three is Pokemon Go at $1.2 billion in revenue. But still a lot of revenue, though, for Pokemon Go.
Definitely.
During quarantine, you know? So, like, most people couldn't go out and play. And I know they made some changes to make it so that you could play, you know, from home. But
yeah,
that's
yeah.
still...
Pokemon on your couch.
Pokemon Couch
yeah.
Go.
Pokemon Couch Go.
and then we have number four, just to quickly run through these last two. Number four is Coin Master, which is a game I haven't played, but I sure have seen a lot of ads for it. And I guess I know why now, because it earned $1.1 billion this year.
Holy moly, that's a lot of coin.
Yeah, that's a lot. Ah, I see what you did there. That is a lot.
I did there.
And then I'm glad to see this last one. Number five on this list is a game that has been sort of flying under the radar, I think, for many people. Maybe not this year, but they have been flying under the radar for many years, because this is not a new game, even though some people may think that it is. It's Roblox. They earned $1.1 billion this year, with a total of $2 billion earned like since the game released.
Wow.
Which says something about, like, it really accelerated, right? Like, it earned half of its revenue, total revenue, in just this last year alone, even though it released, and I wish I hadn't said this sentence because I didn't look up that number, but I think it released around 2014 or 15. Like, it goes back, you know, it goes way back on PC. So pretty impressive.
I think what's the most interesting about these two lists, Roblox came out actually in 2006.
Oh, 2006. Okay.
Yeah. Which is crazy. I think that's when it like officially like started. And of course it's had a huge updates, since then, added stuff. I think it was very bare bones when it first came out, like very, very, but what I was going to say is what's very interesting about this list, even though there are overlaps between the most downloaded and then the most earned. So let's take those overlaps out. It really shows a difference between what would be considered a popular game to download, the most popular, as opposed to what game is earning the most money. So with, I mean, of course, with free-to-play games, there is, of course, a monetization aspect to it. So it just makes you wonder, is the best earning games are the ones that have the easiest monetization or the more friendly monetization, so it's easier for people to spend money, or do they have the more aggressive monetization, whereas that way people are spending more money, let's say. And it really comes down to, honestly, I mean, if you look at it like Pokemon Go, okay, that's a huge popular IP, so I can see why that's on there. And then Roblox, I mean, it's kind of geared towards kids, not saying that older people can't play the game and have fun. I totally get that. So it's just very interesting to show which would you consider the most popular, the ones downloaded more or the ones that are earning more money?
I think the most popular game is, so in my book, if you ask me personally, I would say the most downloaded is the most popular.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. Because best earning, I mean, I think it's pretty clear for most people that Among Us is one of the most popular games of 2020.
Good point, yep.
If you ask 10 people to mention the 10 most popular games of this year, and I think most of them will put Among Us in there somewhere in that top 10. So I would say that's it. You know, it doesn't, and they don't monetize super heavily. They're just a small indie studio. They probably didn't think too much about monetization because they, you know, until you have players, you don't have to think too much about that. But then you look at games like PUBG Mobile. Of course, they know exactly what they're doing, and that's why they're one of the best earning games. You look at Honor of Kings, they know exactly what they're doing. Roblox, I mean, they probably know what they're doing as well. But yeah, as you said, they just have such a huge player base, and it's focused on cosmetics. And every time you have cosmetics and kits together, it seems to do well. You know, we saw the same with Fortnite. You know, younger audience of players, they are very receptive to like wanting to buy cosmetic items, apparently. And so you end up earning a lot of money. It's a proven recipe at this point. But yeah, what do you agree? Like, most popular?
Yeah, I think I see what that is, because, I mean, if you're more willing to re-download a game as opposed to then you're more willing to spend money on it, I would think that the game with the most downloads I would consider the most popular. I mean, I've never even heard of Coin Master, and you mentioned ads, and I don't even think I've seen ads for it, honestly.
You're not in their target audience then, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. It's not popping up on my feeds. So I guess I can see, you know, how maybe that one isn't super duper popular, but it's definitely earning some money. And it's just about how they monetize that game. PUBG Mobile being the top earner of 2020, no surprise there. That game is still going strong. I mean, it may not be as strong as it was a few years ago, but it's definitely, you know, still going strong.
Actually, to be honest, I think monetization-wise, I think it's doing better than ever. I think it's the best year ever, monetization-wise, like revenue-wise.
Yeah.
$2.6 billion. But of course, that also has to do with, I mean, almost every game that remains super popular, they almost have to beat their own record every year because you just have more players in total. You have more mobile gamers than you did a year ago, and you had more a year ago than you had 2 years ago.
Yeah, so, and you have to keep those players engaged as well with the updated content.
Yeah, exactly. And if you do that well, you end up earning a lot of money because some people stay, you know, some quit, but hopefully a lot of people stay, and then you could bring in more players over time. But this was sort of the retrospective or part of this podcast where we look back at the year that has now gone by. But we are in 2021 now, and there are some games that we're hyped about. I know you have a list of games that you and I both, there's a bit of an overlap. Some games you're mostly hyped about. I guess some I might be more hyped about than you, but we have this hype list that we wanted to go through. So I think you can just take that away, just from the top. And let's just go through them and sort of add a few comments about what we think about those games and why we're hyped about them.
I am getting super hyped for 2021, everybody. So this is just a list of games that they have had announcements. Some of them are definitely coming out in 2021. I am not going to guarantee that all these games are coming out in 2021. We'll talk about that later, how I got hyped for some games in 2020 that never released or disappointed in. Yeah. But first on the list of upcoming games for 2021 that Tiny is super excited about is Crash Bandicoot On the Run. I don't care what Nimblethor says. He can try to dash my excitement all he wants. I'm still excited for the game, and that's mainly because I haven't been able to play the game yet. I know Nimble has, and I know we've talked about it in previous podcasts. I'm still super excited, and I have my fingers crossed that I'll get my hands on it soon and that I will enjoy it more than Nimblethor.
I think they have slated the game for release in like March 2021.
So okay, I'm excited.
You should be able to get to it soon enough.
But the next game on our list is something that I haven't looked too much into, but I know you have, Nimble. It's Warhammer Odyssey. Warhammer Odyssey is supposed to release by the end of January this year, so let's hope we get it soon. And it is an MMORPG. And get this, I didn't know this, Nimble, you brought it to my attention, but apparently it is without autoplay or auto questing, to where, like, you know, you automatically go to a quest. So it kind of has that old school MMORPG feel to it. But I know you've looked into it, so what are your thoughts on it?
I am extremely hyped about this game. I feel like, so let me start by saying I'm not a huge Warhammer fan. Like, I mean, sure, it's an interesting universe, but I'm not one of those people who've like played all the Warhammer universe games or collected the collectibles and stuff like that. I have not, but I think it's an interesting universe. It's interesting to see a new MMORPG in such a popular IP, you know, such a popular universe. And then I guess what really surprised me is the part you just mentioned, that, you know, it doesn't have autoplay, it doesn't have auto questing, it's open world. That stuff is very rare to see on mobile. In fact, I can probably count on one hand, maybe even only three fingers, the types, you know, the these types of games on mobile. We have old school RuneScape that doesn't have autoplay, that's open world. And then we have some of those like smaller indie games. We have Adventure Quest 3D, which is also open world and doesn't have autoplay. But apart from that, there really aren't that many. Indie titles. There are some smaller indie titles that I'm not going to mention here, not because they aren't great, but they're just not of the same caliber. Like, I'm talking like big time MMORPGs, right? From big developers or big publishers that have a chance of becoming really popular. And I think Warhammer Odyssey is one of those games. So I am extremely excited about it. It is also, I think, expected to release by the end of January already.
Yeah.
So we should, and that's a global release if I understood the developers correctly. So we should very soon be getting our hands on it, and I'll absolutely be covering it. I'm so much looking forward to playing this, and I hope as the optimist I am, I hope it will give me some of that like old school nostalgic MMORPG gameplay that we haven't seen on mobile in a very long time.
And I know it sounds like we're making a big deal out of the whole no autoplay feature. and that's mainly a reason because we've gotten so used to having autoplay in a lot of our games, especially MMORPGs within the last few years have just made it to where I click a button and the game just plays itself. And I understand for some people that that's a plus. Like, I get it. You know, you don't have a lot of time, let's say, and you just want to get these quests done or you just want to level up. But some of us old fogies like myself, we like to actually play the game, especially in MMORPG. We like to go to a certain quest. We like to go over here and fight these monsters or go over here and collect this. So hopefully if this game kind of keeps that aspect and has it, I'm expecting it to be great too. I've played a little Warhammer games in the past. I not as much as, you know, the average Warhammer fan has, but I do, like you said, I am really interested in the universe. I do like the art style they always go with, the orcs and all that stuff. So I'm hoping for it to be good. But next on our list is a game I'm actually kind of super excited for being a Tomb Raider fan, and that is Tomb Raider Reloaded. Now, we did get a release trailer for this, and it didn't show any gameplay, which isn't that exciting. I kind of don't like when they don't show gameplay, because then I don't know what I'm getting into. But for, if anyone who's played Tomb Raider, I think Guardians or something like that, it's like a top-down twin-stick shooter set in the Tomb Raider universe. Rumor has it that's what Tomb Raider Reloaded is going to be, and if it is going to be that, I am super excited for that.
Do you know if it's going to be free-to-play? It's probably going to be free-to-play, right?
I'm thinking all rumors are pointing to free-to-play. However, if it is a premium game, honestly, I would probably like it to be a premium game, hopefully in the realm of $4.99 to $9.99 USD. I think that would be a great price point if it was a premium game. But we'll have to see. I mean, it's kind of... Over the years, I feel like we've been getting less premium titles and everything's been kind of just pushed to free to play, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. If the monetization is done right, I'm okay with it. But in this scenario, we'll see. I'm hoping actually for premium. I would love to see more premium titles released in 2021, honestly.
Let's see if that happens. But okay. Yeah, it's a game I haven't heard about Tomb Raider Reloaded before you brought it up. Sounds interesting. I don't think it's going to be my type of game, but I get why you're excited about it, though. And any Tomb Raider fan should probably really be looking forward to
getting definitely. Your hands on that we game. Need more Tomb Raider content. And next on our list is, we've talked about this in a previous podcast, that's Nier Reincarnation. Anybody familiar with Nier Automata? It's a PC console game, RPG-ish game, hack and slash game, very popular. It came out about 4 years ago. This is going to be a mobile version of the game, or not necessarily a version, but just a mobile incarnation of Reincarnation. Wow, you see what I did there? From the looks of it, I've seen some gameplay footage that's been released, and it does look like it's going to be a possible turn-based RPG set in the Nier universe. The graphics look very similar to what we've seen in past games, and it looks like it does that little art style where it kind of like switches it from a 3D game to like a 2D platformer game, so hopefully it keeps that same aesthetic as the Nier series has been doing, but I am looking forward to that, and that's supposed to be coming out this year as well, so I'm kind of hyped for that one. Have you heard of the Nier universe?
I have heard of the game. A couple of my friends played it on PC, I mean the previous PC titles. I think I'll be playing this one if I can get my hands on it and if it's free to play. I think it's one of those games that I personally wouldn't end up spending money on it because I'm not invested in the franchise, but sounds like an interesting game though, and hopefully it's going to turn out really great. It's always interesting when you see something that is popular on PC trying to make a mobile version of that. Typically, historically, it hasn't gone too well when game developers try to do that, but let's, you know, cross our fingers and hope that Nier is the exception here, the exception to the rule. Yeah.
And then another game we have coming out is Ni No Kuni Cross Worlds. Ni No Kuni is another game that is a console game, console/PC, that is making its way to mobile. This will be a whole new game, of course. And it looks to be an action-based RPG, which the Ni No Kuni series is originally a turn-based RPG. It kind of has that kind of Pokemon feel where you collect little monsters and you help them battle with you. We've looked at some promotional, screenshots for the game, and the art style looks really good. It almost has that Genshin Impact anime art style, which I'm kind of excited for. The art style kind of resembles Studio Ghibli. They're the ones who actually worked on the original Ni no Kuni series, so I'm hoping it keeps that art aesthetic, and I'm hoping that it's fun. It looks to be open world. We haven't seen much more on it. I'm hoping it comes out this year as well, but I'm also hyped for that one. So far, there's like four games I'm hyped for already, yeah. So please don't dash my hype, mobile game.
You missed the hype machine over there. No, I think if this is going to be a Genshin Impact-like game, you know, something akin to that, then I think I'd absolutely be into it as well. I don't know the franchise. I don't know Studio Ghibli, but I know it's a very popular animation studio. And then they've made some big popular animated series in the past. So hopefully this mobile game is going to be great as well.
The next game on our list is for those who are born in the last 20 years who don't really like to play Pokemon Go, but are interested in a Pokemon Go-like game, The Witcher Monster Slayer is for you. Yes, everybody, The Witcher is coming out with a Pokemon Go-style game for us Witcher fans.
And let's call it what it is. It's a Pokemon Go clone.
It's a...
No, yes, it is. It's a Pokemon Go clone.
I know. I almost made it seem like it wasn't, but it straight up is. You're right. And in 2021, to have another Pokemon Go clone, that's kind of disheartening. But let's see. I mean, who knows? If we're slaying Witcher monsters, I guess that would be kind of cool.
Listen, here's a Nimblethor prediction for 2021. This game is going to just flop completely. people are going to think... No, listen. People are going to think they want to play it because they like The Witcher. Then they're gonna realize how much Pokemon Go sucks when it's not Pokemon, and then they'll never touch it again. But they'll probably keep it installed because they like the franchise and they like to think that one day they'll end up enjoy playing it. But they'll just never do so. That is my prediction, and I think this game is gonna be closed down before the end of 2022.
Oh my goodness! Wow. Gracious! I was killing it.
That's so pessimistic.
That is so, but okay, you know what? It's so pessimistic, but you're probably 100% accurate because I'm going to download it because I'm a Witcher fan, and then I'm going to play it and be like, you know what? I'm done with Pokemon Go. I mean, Witcher Go.
We have to follow up on this. I've never predicted anything that actually came true, so take this with a grain of salt, but hopefully this will be my first prediction.
We're going to hold also you kind to that of, prediction.
Yeah, please do. I also kind of predicted that that Diablo Immortal would release last year, which it didn't.
But
I know that you mentioned you've seen some beta gameplay. Is that correct?
Diablo saw some Immortal, gameplay. Yes, that is next on our list. So good segue there. Apparently, hopefully, supposedly, Diablo Immortal is coming out in 2021. And the reason why I can confirm this is because the beta is out right now. And usually when the beta is out, that means we're really close to, you know, getting an official release for Diablo Immortal. I think you could play it in Australia. And there's some other regions you can play it in or play the beta in. So if you're in any of those regions, definitely give it a go and see. I cannot play it myself, unfortunately, but I have been watching gameplay footage of it. And I must admit, okay, as a pessimist as I was about Diablo Immortal, from what I've seen in the gameplay footage, it actually looks kind of good, guys. I know. You can rage at me in the comment section, but the gameplay looks very smooth. There's actually a story there with a lot of voice acting. I've seen a lot of people equipped in their character. I've seen some battles. It honestly is surprising me. I'm not going to get my hopes too high up, but it does look good. Unfortunately, we don't have any idea what the monetization is going to be like. I don't think the beta has any monetization aspects to it yet. So don't get your hopes too high. We'll see. But I will say I am cautiously optimistic from what I've seen.
Right. I am extremely optimistic. I think, unlike my thoughts on The Witcher Monster Slayer, and I'm probably gonna be super wrong about this. Then what I'm about to say now, but I think Diablo Immortal is gonna be probably one of the RPGs of the year. Like maybe if you do at the end of the year, if you do a top three, I think most people would put Diablo Immortal there. I think it's gonna be that good, and I just think at this point they wouldn't want to not make it a success. Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
At this point,
all the backlash they had.
Why not then just make it an actual good game now? Like, otherwise, they would have just released it. If they knew it was trash, they would just have released it immediately. It didn't matter. Like, they would have released it early last year. They must have spent this time on something.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. And we talked about this in previous podcasts. Like, it was ready to be released I want to say at least last year or maybe even before, but they've spent time on it for a reason. They've held it back for a reason, and that reason could be to polish it and to just make it a overall better experience. And from what I've seen so far in the gameplay, I must admit it does look like that's kind of what they did. They made it for Diablo fans, and we'll see what they come up with. But I'm getting kind of excited. Wouldn't it be an awesome success story, though, for it to go through all of this, like, trouble, all of this bad PR, all of this stuff, and then for it to come out and actually be just this amazing thing?
That would be great.
It would be great. It would be a good story.
I just hope the gameplay is actually fun. You know? Yeah. I think the monetization is going to be okay. And what I mean with that is that I do not think it's going to be purely cosmetic. I think there is definitely going to be things that will allow you to sort of level up faster and gain things faster. But I think the monetization is going to be okay, to the point where 90% of people won't really complain about it as long as the gameplay is good enough. I feel it's the same with Genshin Impact. Yes, you know, you can get stronger heroes by spending real-life money on Genshin Impact, but the majority of people are okay with playing that game despite the gacha monetization mechanics because the gameplay is actually fun. You know, it's actually fun to play, which sounds so simple, but, you know, it's just addictive. Like, you want to get more of it, right?
Yeah, you want to keep you want to keep playing. You want to keep doing quests. You want to, you know, level up your character. And part of Genshin Impact was just me leveling up my character.
Yeah. And if Diablo Immortal has the same thing, you know, that same actually fun gameplay, I think it will be a huge success. So fingers crossed.
All right, fingers crossed, guys. Diablo Immortal is almost upon us. All right, next up on our list is, okay, this is an interesting one. It's League of Legends Wild Rift. And it's interesting because apparently it's released everywhere else except here in the States, so everybody else can play it, but I haven't been able to play it yet. So I find that very interesting, but 2021 is supposed to have its global release, so Tiny can finally get his hands on it. I don't know, have you played it, or are you able to even play it where you're at?
I am able to. I downloaded it, I patched it up, and then I just didn't get to play it because I wanted to make sure I gave myself a proper vacation. And so that might sound weird. That might sound weird. But for me, someone who makes YouTube videos about mobile games, if I end up playing a mobile game and I really like it, I just cannot shake the thought of, like, I have to make a video about this. I got to start scripting the video. What do I want to say about this game? What's good? So, like, my head keeps spinning. So I am very excited to play the game, but I have not played it yet for that reason. So I will get into it probably this next week, and then I'll end up making a video about it. But, I mean, first impressions from almost everyone is that it's kind of what you expected, I think. You know, it's not worst, so it's what you expected. It's a really solid MOBA, and of course, anyone who's played League of Legends will claim that this is probably the best MOBA on mobile. I have not played League of Legends, so I will kind of reserve my own thoughts on the game for when I've actually played it. But I do think, just because of the sheer quality, it is probably a good game. Not just the fan base saying that it's good because they're fans of the franchise, but it is probably a solid game for anyone, even those of us who haven't played the League of Legends.
Next game on our list is also an interesting one because it hasn't officially been announced that it's going to come out in 2020. In 2021. That is COD Warzone. So Call of Duty Warzone apparently is going to be getting a mobile release, which will be separate than from Call of Duty Mobile. This would be its own release. And the only reason why we're talking about it is because there was an article about a job posting for specifically Call of Duty Warzone. And we're hoping that it's supposed to come out in 2020, but it could, or in 2021, I keep saying 2020. I just don't want to forget this year, do I? No, I do, actually.
You're probably the only one then.
I just want to restart it, apparently. Thank you. So we're hoping 2021, but that actually might be beyond. We might be seeing that game come down a few years later. Yeah. I personally am excited for it. I've played Call of Duty Warzone on PC. A few months back, I played it a lot. A friend of mine got me into it, and I really enjoyed it. The difference between this Battle Royale and the one that's actually in COD Mobile is that Warzone is first-person only perspective, and it does a lot of things differently than what the COD Mobile Battle Royale does, which I actually kind of liked. So, a mobile version of that would be kind of great. Of course, the graphics might not be as great as you can play it on PC.
No.
Yeah, but I wonder, see what it does.
Yeah, but I wonder if it'll take away from the Call of Duty Mobile player base, which wouldn't be a good thing.
Yeah.
So I would be a bit afraid if I was Activision, right? About to release this game.
Well, if we go back, what's surprising, sorry guys, we're just going to go back really quick to that list of most downloaded games and the highest earning games. COD mm-hmm. Mobile was on neither of those lists, which is crazy.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah, because the first year it came out, that game was destroying.
Yeah, it did. So maybe they're not earning as much as they did, and maybe that's why they're working on Warzone. That could be it.
Now,
the interesting thing is, we did, talking about going back, we did one of these lists last year as well, or mm-hmm. you did a video, that's it. Yeah. You did a video last year where you looked at like the games you were most looking forward to, and I know you have your own little list here of where those games then are, or like, did they disappoint you, you know, did they actually release? So we're going to go through those now and hopefully have a good laugh about, you know, games that either disappointed you or that just didn't release yet, you know.
Yeah, so, I did that. Yeah, I did that video to where I was like, oh, I'm super excited for all these games in 2020. And then some of them came out and none of them came out. So yeah, we're basically going to go through our lists and we're both going to talk about it because we've played some of these games. So a game I was super excited for in 2020 was Shadowgun War Games. I loved Shadowgun. I think it was Legends that came out before. Mm-hmm. I was super excited for a first-person online-only team-based, squad-based shooter, and I was also super disappointed by it as well.
As much as I was... Yeah, that's a good way of summarizing yeah. it. As hyped as you were, as disappointed did you get when you actually played it?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, I can't... We talked about this before, but I can't decide what it was. I don't know if it was the controls. The controls were a little different. The shooting didn't feel right. The game, it just wasn't as fun as I wanted it to be.
It
felt like a chore to play almost, and it was very disappointing because I was expecting so much out of it. I don't even know how it's even doing right now, honestly, because I don't hear about it anymore. But yeah,
I don't think it's doing that well. No,
it didn't have that fun factor.
Nope. And as you said, the controls were bad as well. That's really what struck me when I played it. I'm sure it got a bit better, but I mean, it almost must have gotten a bit better. How can it not? But it was really bad when it released. So I would put this on my sort of disappointment list of the year as well. Shadowgun War Games, for sure.
All right. RIP War Games. There's a lot of RIPs, huh?
There is.
All right. Next on our list. Oh, my goodness. Actually, I might be more disappointed in this than I was in War Games. Tom Clancy's Elite Squad came out this year, folks. I was super duper excited for it last year in 2019, and it is a total dumpster fire dud of a game. It's not just the graphics that aren't good, because they aren't. It's the fact that it's a sit and watch. I don't even know how to explain it. You just send your troops out, they fight. You go to the next stage, you send the troops out, they fight. Okay, you collect Tom Clancy characters. I guess you can upgrade them. It was just a dud to me. Nothing mm-hmm. exciting was about it. It was just your average, typical, and it's from Ubisoft, everybody. So, I mean, that says it all. Not to bash on Ubisoft. They make great console PC games.
Let's bash on them. Let's bash on Ubisoft. On mobile, they're real bad. They're on the naughty list.
Oh, they are definitely. They get lumps of coal every year.
Absolutely. But I didn't play it, though, but I'm sure I would probably agree with you if I did play it.
Oh, yeah, you actually saved yourself a headache by not playing it, honestly. Yeah, it was, I think I didn't even do a review of it. I did a rant view where I just ranted about how bad it was and how disappointing it was, unfortunately. That actually ranks higher than War Games in my most disappointed. Mm-hmm. next on the list, I don't know if you played it. I played it. I didn't do a video on it, I don't think. That's Forza Street. I was excited for Forza Street because Forza is a very popular Xbox exclusive racing game where you have all these cool cars, you go out. All Forza Street was one of those, like, where it just, kind of like a drag race type game where you just, you know, push the gas, push the brake, you know, and then, oh, you beat the level and then you do the next and you do your thing. Very disappointing in terms of gameplay. I was expecting a lot more. I was expecting it to be like a full-blown asphalt game. But it was not everybody.
No, I remember you were really excited about it. I remember you saying, yeah, if we get a full-blown Forza Street game on mobile, that would be so great.
Yes.
You know? And then it turned out not to be that.
Yeah, because Forza on console is, you know, it's like an open world type racing game where you go out, you collect cars, you pull up to a track and all of a sudden you're racing all these cars. So cool. This was none of that. this was the opposite of that. And then next, okay, so now we're going to keep going on this list, but these are games that I made that video about that did not release this year, and I haven't heard anything about when they're going to release, if they're still in development, with the crazy year that 2020 has been, it could be that these games are being, you know, pushed back or haven't been been worked on actively. Devil May Cry was a game that was supposed to come out in 2020. It was a mobile version of Devil May Cry. There's gameplay footage out there. There's trailers out there. I think it had a soft launch in a certain region, but I don't know where it is now, and I have seen no update on that. I'm still excited for it, but we'll see where that game is at right now. Mm-hmm. Another game was Apex Legends was supposed to come out. Apex Legends was supposed to come out in 2020 as well, the mobile version of that. Don't know what's going on with that one either. Haven't heard much about it. I think they're still working on it.
Yeah, but does anyone care anymore?
Like, I is know, it, right?
I mean, I'm sorry for...
I'm sorry for those who care.
Fans of Apex Legends. No, sorry to those who care. Listen, a year ago, I would have been excited about Apex Legends releasing. Yeah. Now, not so sure. Like, there are already so many... There's so many Battle Royale games out there. Why another one? And I get that it's different. It's slightly different. It's a bit different from PUBG Mobile and Fortnite and, you know, the other Garena Free Fire and so on. But is it really different enough that people would go and play that on mobile? Not so sure. But it will probably release. I think you're right about that. It is probably going to release, and maybe it's going to be releasing this year. I will be playing it, but I'm not super hyped about it anymore.
And you know what, too? It sucks because... their popularity of Apex Legends has been dwindling as of late.
Yes.
And I worry on PC, that, yeah. Yes, if they were to release it at that opportune moment when the popularity was super high, and then bam, here's a mobile version. Oh man, I think it would have blew up. But as time goes on, we're separating ourselves from the popularity of Apex Legends on PC or console to when it will come out. I just don't know if they're going to have that like initial push that they could have had originally.
I don't think they will. No.
Yeah. No. And then next up is a game that a lot of us probably forgot about. I know I forgot about. Plants vs. Zombies 3 was actually supposed to come out in 2020. I think there was even like a beta out of it in certain regions as well. And yet we have seen no update or seen anything about that game as well. And
it's a bit weird.
Yeah, it's a bit. Well, especially because Plants vs. Zombies is such a popular IP. EA is very inclined to release it. But it just goes to show the year that 2020 has been. Even if these games weren't destined to come out in 2020, I'm sure this year had an impact on either the development of these games or what they want to do. Maybe it provided them all opportunities to go back and kind of fix some things or make things better. Let's hope.
Yeah.
That's what we can hope for.
I mean, I just pulled up the Google Play page because it does have a Google Play page, Plants vs. Zombies 3, but it hasn't been updated since September 2020, which is not a good sign. So
no,
either it got canceled or maybe they're working on some big update, but it's lower priority. But, you know, seeing as we've just gone through 2020, maybe it just got canceled.
I mean, yeah, it could be. It's just very interesting that EA would just let that one go. I feel like it might make a comeback. I'm not sure. I don't know. Are people still interested in Plants vs. Zombies? That's a good question to think about, too.
I'm not sure either. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm one of the... Like, I played the first Plants vs. Zombie game, and I loved it, you know? So I go way back with that IP, but I am not super excited about the mobile version of Plants vs. Zombies 3 because I think it's just going to be pretty horrible monetization tactics all over the place.
Yeah, so, that's a good point.
Yeah.
But we do have some... we have an award ceremony next, guys.
Yay! Hey!
We only decided to make one category for this 2020 award ceremony, and it was a tie, so we have two winners, actually. But the category is Winner of the Best Worst Mobile Game Ads of 2020.
Award.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, the award part, yeah. We'll have to make
and
a physical award.
Are.
Yeah, and the winners are, first and foremost, Raid Shadow Legends. Who hasn't gone a day without seeing a Raid Shadow Legends ad?
No, so just to be clear, I guess what we're ranking here, these winners are like the ads, like high quality ads, but you get really tired of them because you see them so much.
Oh my goodness gracious, yes, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the criteria here.
I'll be honest, the Raid Shadow Legends ads are probably one of the best quality ads I've seen in recent years. They have those orcs that are like not CG, but RCG, but they look real. And it's the orc husband fighting with the orc wife about all these things. And it gets a laugh out of me. And then they show the gameplay footage for Raid. And then I remember when I played Raid that it was just a shitty game. And so, And so the ads are more fun than the actual game, which is, I guess, kind of the point.
They should become an animation studio instead, like making movies, I guess, or commercials.
Yes, but a marketing agency.
Yeah, exactly. The marketing agency must be amazing.
Raid marketing.
They actually remind me. Yeah, they actually remind me of the old Supercell advertisements.
There was a time
when Supercell would make these really high quality, like almost mini movies. Like CGI. Yeah, exactly. And I love those. And it gives me some of that feel. And listen, by the way, just in case it wasn't clear, I don't like Raid Shadow Legends either. I typically make fun of the game at every opportunity I get. But I gotta agree with you, though. The ads are pretty amazing, but you can also get super tired of them because you see them so often.
Yep. And then the next winner, of course, actually, I can't even announce it because I have to go play AFK Arena right now, so I'll be back.
Oh.
You see what I did there?
AFK Arena, everybody.
The best worst mobile game ads of 2020. Those ones are fierce. I see those more than any ad ever.
Same here. I get bombarded with AFK Arena ads, especially here during December. I got them all the time.
Oh, gosh, yes.
To the point where I started being able to recite in my head some of the ads. Like, I'd seen them so many times.
Yes.
Which is pretty bad.
Are you guys playing AFK Arena?
Huh? Yeah. No, I actually did play it. I know you said you didn't play it, right?
No.
You never... No. I did play it. I don't think it's... So, we talked about Raid Shadow Legends being a bad game.
Yeah.
I don't think AFK Arena is a super bad game. I mean, yes, it certainly has its grind walls, you know, a bit like a paywall where, you know, it's not really a paywall because you can get through it if you grind long enough, but it just takes quite a bit. They do have, you know, there are some of those in the game around level 100 and then sometime later again, I heard from other players, I didn't get that far. I got to around 120 or 130. But I did enjoy my time with the game, though. So, unlike Raid Shadow Legends, even though, yes, I'm also getting tired of the AFK Arena ads, I do think the game, to be fair, isn't the worst one out there if that is the type of game you're looking for. Like, don't go in there expecting it to be like an action-based RPG game. That's not what it is. But if you're looking for an idle RPG with lots of content, that is what it is, you know, and it does have a lot of content to dive into.
I'll never forget the ad of AFK Arena that I saw more recently. The guy, he keeps getting ads. He's like us, right? He keeps getting ads of the game. And then someone pops and says, you know how to get rid of AFK Arena ads? You just got to download the game. And in my head, I'm like, I don't think that's going to work, bro. I don't think downloading the game is going to force you into downloading it
so you don't see the ads anymore.
Yeah. They're blackmailing you, basically.
They're blackmailing us.
They're extorting you to download the game so you stop seeing ads. I'm like, whoa.
That's how mafia works, right?
Yeah, that's how the mob works, everybody. AFK Arena. Those are our winners, everyone, for the best worst mobile game ads of 2020.
There we go. Maybe we should do similar awards next year. We'll see about that.
We should do a whole award ceremony.
What, sorry?
We should do a whole award ceremony next year. If just all
maybe we should do a whole
stuff.
Award ceremony
yeah.
next year.
Yeah, hold that.
Not
to,
just
hold
of
that
the of
us.
The worst best ads, but
yeah,
or the best worst ads. But listen, we had one more topic we wanted to talk about, which is privacy on mobile. Which I know, just don't click away. I know that doesn't sound like the most sexy topic of all. Might not sound super exciting, but something quite exciting actually did happen around, I think it was early or mid-December last year, so 2020, because Apple introduced these privacy or data mining labels on their App Store, which means that any mobile game now has to declare what sort of data they collect through labels like, for example, data used to track you, and then it can list a couple of different things, or data linked to you. And then this data could then be your location, your contact information, your purchase history, and so on. It's just basically making it more transparent how these games, and by the way, all apps, not just games, but how these games use your data. It is pretty freaking cool, and it's nice to have that overview. And then you can decide if you'd rather just skip the game, you know, depending on how you know, how much you care about your own privacy and that type of data, you'll probably want to skip the game. And I think, so I'm a bit double-sided on this. On one hand, I think most people don't care. Like, most of them are just going to download the game. But I think some are going to care. And if enough start caring, then it can start to matter. Right now, don't think it matters too
change.
Much. Exactly. Over time, it could start mattering. And then if consumers demand it, we will start seeing a change. And I hope that Google Play will copy this. I don't expect it, but I hope that they will. It would be great.
I mean, and that kind of happens too. Like, it goes back and forth. Sometimes Apple will make changes, Google will follow suit. Sometimes Google will make changes, Apple will follow suit. So, I mean, it could be something that Google might consider. It just depends on how, I guess, not just popularity, but how it affects users who use the App Store, how it affects what they download or what they do with their data.
I guess Apple, no, sorry, Google is just, you know, seeing how it goes on Apple first this time, and then maybe they can copy it. I did hear some people arguing, though, that Google probably, I guess, overall, Alphabet, Google, you know, the parent company, Alphabet, but also individually, just Google, who, of course, operates the Google Play Store, it's an advertising business. They may not be as interested in increasing, like, your concerns about privacy by showing you these labels. But then on the other hand, though, Google have actually done lots of things to, you know, so you can control your own privacy settings, despite being a data-driven company that obviously they need your data to run their business. So there's always going to be an element of that. But I think it's a good argument for why maybe Google will be the latter one to make this move. Like, they'll just let Apple do it first, and hopefully Google will follow suit at some point.
I know, and I do want to commend Apple for actually taking, I guess, that step, or being the first ones kind of to do that more transparency when it comes to your data. It's something that ever increasingly we get more and more concerned about, or some people do get more and more concerned about as time goes on, because that data is so, I mean, it's how do I explain it? It's so important to those companies. It really is. And the fact that us as consumers, we want to be aware of, okay, what data do they actually need from me in order for me to play this game? Then you can make the decision. Do I want them to even have all this data of where I'm located or where I'm at? And like you said before, they were already collecting that information. It's just now transparency of what they are collecting behind it, which I think is good for the consumers to hear this information. Some people are unaware, honestly, of how much data is being collected.
Yeah, it's a lot of data being collected by a lot of games as well, not just apps and websites, like games. But if sort of to play the devil's advocate here for a bit, I guess you could also argue that consumers, I'm generalizing here, but the average consumer probably doesn't know what sort of permissions games actually do need to function.
That's true.
For example, a multiplayer game may choose you to use your location. They could also just have used your IP address to sort of approximate your location. But let's say for some reason they are able to make better. This is just a thought up example, right? This doesn't actually hold true, but it's just an example. Like, let's say that the developer were able to make better multiplayer by knowing your actual location. Or, of course, a Pokemon Go-like game needs to have your location, not just your IP address. So, but I'm not sure consumers, the average consumer, knows that. So I am a bit afraid as well about, like, will people opt not to download games sort of unfairly, like, because they have a wrong understanding of what sort of permissions are needed. That would be a concern. And then if that is the case, I guess most consumers just won't care about those labels at all, you know?
Yeah,
probably, because if you don't understand them, you don't really care about them either, for the most part. So we'll see how it actually turns out. But I think it's sort of a positive story of 2020. It's a positive thing that happened this year. Hopefully we'll see lots more positive things in 2021.
So the takeaway from this year, Apple did something good for the consumer.
Yes.
They actually did something. Okay, so it looks like we're going to end it off here, you guys. This was our big wrap-up of 2020. We're going into 2021. We're going to be producing more content for everybody. We are excited. Definitely be sure to let us know your thoughts on this episode in the comments on YouTube. You can leave a rating on your favorite podcasting app. It does go a long way in supporting the podcast. And if you don't know what to play now, you can always find lots of great recommendations on our individual YouTube channels. You just got to search NimbleThor or Tiny Little Games. Lastly, our mobile Discord server is still running as strong as ever, so if you're looking for a place to just hang out and chat about mobile games, that's the place to go. So with all that outro stuff out of the way, we just hope you have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you on the next one. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.